This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
So I guess we started off with Chris from the Sci-Fi Movement, more talking about a resource-based economy. And that's what we're trying to find out here, just match out some different styles of economy. And this is how any business would run. It would say, hey, well, what are these ideas? And let's try some out, and let's see if they work or not, and try to make it work. So we're going to do this one here and just discuss different ideas of economic stability and fairness for all. Someone is going to come along and say, well, people are just going to leave your product, and you're going to have some competitor who see the niche there and say, hey, we're looking better for you. And I think the same products, the quality of the product is proportional to the lifespan of the product and the competition between that product and market. So if you've got a product that can be replaced every 10 years, and you start making it at a much cheaper price than it can replace every 5 years, then it's doing the same. Just have a system which relies on silly consumption just continuously, relying on all the resources that are manufactured by people, and all the same very cheap product, which is ultimately becoming more and more disposable rather than long lived.
So, isn't that the real issue there, though? That it's disposable? And should the big issue be recycling every single component of figuring out how to recycle it?
Definitely recycling is going to play a massive part in the future. I think today's focus comes to be from tomorrow's lives. That's the effectiveness of our resources. We're all about the refining of them in the trap. And then,
well, they already are, but in the little extent, and it would be a lot more.
I think it would be the farther for what we've said before, generally, the first chasing is the markets and buildings, the first chasing consumerism, and there's a certain amount of what the product might buy and defining as a person. It is taking us away from what's the rational scientific progression in society. Society has its potential and it's held back by these interests which people are born to try and role model their own realistically. More scientists need to get into such a decision that can lead to society with the highest problems, although there's a huge amount of profit in problems. Solving problems is just a matter of industry, and more and more industries solve problems, and problems are solved. If you're a good career, you have a great sense of saying that you're a very small workforce, what happens when you're going to join the whole industry economy?
This is where the idea of detaching our income from what we need to be the front of what we do is a really important part of the social reform idea. The idea ought to be great, and we have what we needed to be.
How long does it take to throw an entirely new structure of society on top
city concepts, which are coming out of certain big tanks, where they're building this huge oil leads out of here, what old abandoned oil rigs, and that's like a city size in the middle of the ocean, saying, hey, no one owns these. Let's experiment on these. Let's have an experiment. Like I said at the start of this talk, it's creating like a business. A business can just, you know, let's try something. And if it falls, it falls. If it didn't work, good experiment, let's try something else. And, you know, sadly, all the lands are pretty much taken by the state's paradigms with cotton construction now. So maybe there's some little bits of land left that we can say, hey, we can try to play. These licenses that's come up in the future. The current situation in the nation states, basically highly corporatized nation states, that whole system was made up by people. And when you come back within that system and change where we're at now here, you don't have to go somewhere else and start a whole new thing. I think that we can. Start getting a conversation going about this transition period, then we actually can change where we're at now.
The problem I see arising with that is that the gun in the room is definitely not in point of view. The gun in the room, the state is the big gun in the room. It's pointing guns at people for a collective bunch of laws that it thinks is right or wrong. You walk around with a bit of vegetation that's unpopular with most people. Then you get thrown in prison where you're probably going to be raped. So the gun in the room is what we have to look at here. And if we try to have a different side thing, that structure, the gun of the state pointing at everyone, you really can't do much. You can't say, hey, initially decided marijuana is totally fine, or whatever it is, whatever you. Don't harm someone else if you want to harm yourself. Well, good on you. We'll try to stop you, but we won't be trying to stop you. But why did this start? Just like in America, you see the states, you know, it's pretty up to California, it's legal. I'm just bringing up what it's new. It's a concept.
It's a bit of a funny crime, but I'm not using this crime, so it doesn't.
Yeah,
fair enough. The most crimes are the exact same.
Well, most crimes are. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of laws, all which are a crime. And if you really think about what is major crime, is don't hit and don't steal. Don't initiate force against another human being and don't steal another one. This is what it boils down to, really, those two secular ethics of society is they don't hit and don't steal. And you can talk about property and stuff. This is where, I mean, my concept, I don't want to rattle too much, but in terms of the psychosis, we're talking about non-property and private property. But you've got to ask yourself a very philosophical question, and that is, do you own yourself? Because if you don't own yourself, someone owns you, and that is slavery. So you have to ask, do you own yourself?
Did a very short video and just sort of made a statement and I was saying that, you know, they sort of broke that topic in the yard.
It's true. That's the step in my view, right?
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, they basically say that, yeah, we're just making a farm. Yeah, we are. So,
yes,
I guess that is probably one of the biggest problems against people to break their otherwise lifestyle routines are doing something for affecting social change. That fear that you wake up and you may have realized that you've seen the world for what it is, and what you say, maybe I don't know what you say, so yeah, we'll do something about this, not looking at anything to do with hate, but I'm not going to go out and do it.
So you would agree that we own ourselves?
I think that's what I'm going to do with my own self growth at the moment. I don't think I'm going to do it pretty much a corporate contract at the moment.
Well, yeah, okay, let's take all that stuff away.
Yeah.
And you are born into anything to do you own yourself.
I think I just clarified that what Josh is talking about is he's talking about natural rights.
Yeah.
As opposed to
Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCoinAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
Thank you. summarize that further after discussion. Sometimes there's some sort of argument going on without any way to move it, without any constructive way. There's an argument going on between what Josh is talking about in terms of what I would call material, perhaps an article constructive of what the human being is and what it is. And there's another one being presented by the sarcasm by Chris, but it seems to be some differences there, and the sarcast philosophy is one which I've tried to have many times in the communities I've had people on the show to talk about it. But what I'd like to know is there actually a contradiction, or is it just that we're talking about the same things? We're talking about different things. So the sarcast seems to talk a lot about the resource-based economy and the need to be free from money.
Free from money, exactly. The resource-based economy is not really the focus of specifically implementing a new economy. It's rather making the current monetary system redundant. So just to move forward a little bit, some of the projects we're doing in the city at the moment is doing things like fresh vegetable production through the use of mass technology, aeroponics, for gardening. So it's one thing that people don't spend money on, and they're having to live up to alleviating themselves from the monetary system, doing as much as you can at home for yourself, so you don't have to spend as much money, and yet you're not such a slave for the behaviors.
Because I was actually going to talk about this in terms of the threefold that we were talking about last week. He's talking about something that he wants, and he's talking about something to do with the cultural sphere. Does that make sense?
You could.
Yes.
It's really, really pleased to see that some of this stuff is kind of getting through. I want to come back and talk a little bit about what Josh was saying. He was asking the question, do you own yourself? Are you, do you feel free?
Yeah.
Freedom is not something that is connected to you, you know. It's good, and it's there for you to pick up. I was sitting back over something Nelson Mandela said, and somebody asked him, how did you survive all those years in prison? And he said, oh, look, even though they had me in prison, I knew I'd be okay because they could never take my freedom. I thought that was a really profound thing. It shows that our freedom is something that exists within us. It's not actually mandated by the state or by the economy. It stands above what happens within the cultural sphere. That's something that's intrinsic in being, in a way, perhaps, the acknowledgement within every philosophy that every human
But saying that, right, so not everyone would like to be in a 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter cell. You know, we want to physically be free as well.
And certainly that's all within the right sphere, you know, how we treat each other. Basically, just to recap from the previous show, the idea of social three-folding is that within society there are three main areas of activity. There's the economic sphere, which involves the creation, distribution, and consumption of commodities, which involves the uses of the resources that we have. There's the right sphere, the political sphere, which you're talking about, which basically is about how people treat what are the lines that we draw within our society to say, I'm free to do whatever I like, except I can't keep you for no reason. And then there's the cultural sphere, which is sometimes the thing that's most difficult for people to get a hold of. Because it has a lot in it. It has does and what he did. But education, basically everything that you might call the civil society, so everything that grows out of our cultural impulse. I wanted to talk a little bit about ownership property. You know, I don't know a lot about your idea about property, but it's within social free holding, we have an idea that sounds similar to what you're talking about with resource-based economy. I mean, it's what we call an associated economic model. And within the associated economic model, land should not be treated as a commodity. So it's okay to have personal property, like you're allowed to own a shirt on your back, but the property you make. But you're not actually allowed to own your land. That's a different thing. But what we actually have is the right to use it.
Let me say, as I was saying, that I think it's just a construct, it's like it's just a concept. It's not intrinsically more valid to say that than to say, well, actually, you can't own anything. Because how you own a car, you really can't own a car. If it sits there, when you're not driving it, and it just sits there, right? If you can't carry it with you, it's purely a concept to say that you own it.
Because
when you talk about the shirt, it's also a concept to say it's a story. But it's still a concept, isn't it? And to say that the one concept is intrinsically right, that it's like you can own a ship, you can't own land, and say, well, that's intrinsically true. You know, also, it's just, you know, you can design rules any way you like, you play the game all you want, you just make up the rules, and you all agree on it, you find that you don't agree, and someone's maybe you steal the car, or steal the ship, and say, well, I want that ship.
My point really, I think, is to try to point out that within the social order, or within associative economics, there are some things which should not be treated as commodities, one of which is land, and another one is people and their labor.
It's interesting, isn't it?
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Separation of the spheres so that they could actually each operate by their own rules, which work best for them. And then that would leave only those areas where things interact. So obviously, there is a relationship between economy and politics. And all that would have to be worked out is how do we deal with those gray areas?
Well, this is where I come because I see how groups of people do anything for another group of people. So, for instance, it comes back down to self ownership as well. You know, this is why I was pretty active in the basic building blocks. So, I sort of follow this for three or four questions, right? Do you have the right, or does someone have the right to initiate violence against someone else? To steal from them and then initiate violence against them if they refuse to give up whatever stuff they've got. Either that's themselves or someone else. Most people would say, of course not, you can't. You don't have the right to do that. You have the right to self defense, sure. But not to initiate violence against someone else. Okay, so you agree that you don't have the right to initiate violence against someone else. Teacher in the garden cases, just in your own way, didn't know to steal. So, can you give someone else, or a group of people, a right that you don't have? So, you don't have a right to steal, so can you give that to a group of people, whether you elect those people, or whether the whole group elects those people? How can you give a right to someone else, or a group of people, collectively, that you don't yourself have? And I think this is a philosophical question that has really been nailed out to understand. And when you take that to its natural progression, you have to say, well, no, you can't have a violent monopoly that sits there making laws whether you so you don't like something or other, so you're gonna lobby this group and then get them to do this.
I think what I'm hearing is that you are basically observing that democratic system, there's been a failure, and ostensibly there to sort of protect your rights, act outside of the bounds of what we set as limits of executive behavior in society. So they've taken on rights for themselves, which you don't enjoy. They actively deny you rights which you should have. Now, that's it. That goes to many rights, that's what we're resort. Now, those are exactly the problems. And so I think you really sum up what the problem is. Kind of people feel like the government, which is basically become completely enmeshed by economic interests, the big sort of flavor of the moment for us in our time is that the economic sphere has completely dominated the political sphere. So no longer does the political sphere actually function properly to protect individuals' rights. It's actually working to protect corporate interests.
Absolutely. Mussolini said it perfectly.
There's a flip side of that as well. But the other thing that happens with that is the economy does not function correctly because it's doing a job it should not be doing. The economy is trying to tell you what's right and wrong, what your rights are. That's not its job. Its job is only to create and distribute goods that people need to live in the world to satisfy not just their desires, but also their wants.
So that's right. I don't like the word utopia because I don't think there is such a thing. Some people like to be poorer than others. Some people like to live some ridiculously extravagant life. Some people just like to sit on the beach and surf. So there's different lifestyles and things that people also say, this sort of equality thing. When I think about voting and having a say, I think that the only real true vote I have is. This comes back to science, is the money that I wish to vote with on a certain product or service. And so I think this, the concept of that, also with money, is that money can be anything. Money can be water, cigarettes, anything under the sun, yardsticks, and flowers. And to say, oh, we just can get rid of money, so I'm sort of branching a whole direction here, it's kind of, I find it strange because, you might have everything that one should and stuff, but if I go and each make some sculpture out of shell and copper, someone comes along and says, wow, I really love that sculpture, and I say, hey, well, I really like it too, I want this thing, and he's like, well, it's one of a kind. It's, I don't want the machines to mass produce it. This is my thing. And so I think that would go so well in my bedroom. I will try to do some honey for it. I say, that's some honey in that bread I can make. Is it really worth it? It is really quite beautiful. Okay, bread and honey, that's good. So that all of a sudden becomes money. And what I would like to know from somebody, are you going to use violence against me? Is the state, is the computer robot going to come or whatever it is? I don't mean to sound condescending, is the society going to use violence against me to stop me from doing this trade? Where do you draw the line? It's a need for something that's totally needed to be different. it's the game. But I think what's totally unique and different about the style of
life is that you would take a certain extremely tough situation as an understanding of this game and have so many others personal motivation that ultimately working to the resource based economy is much better than just an education. So much of education, even if kids are really preferred by any sort of component that come along in the private sector rather than
City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who is on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murrah Building? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
really good for those kids and to just see what we can achieve in a limited period of time. It's wicked. Yeah, we'll see if the air makes us make it densify down to 6 feet. Lisa, did you want to just finish off with your last point again?
I think the last point I was making was that if we really have the opportunity to make economic conversions with the whole future, the world will be a much better place. And it's the pressure and the lack of information and the lack of education about it that really makes a difference. And as human beings, we feel this desire to care for one another. It's an
absolute well, you're unkind, you're uncaring because you don't believe in Social Security. But I do believe in Social Security. I just don't believe in forced extraction from me. And so that's not me giving money to someone else, it's someone taking money and giving it to someone else. I give good money to people on the streets, but I do a lot of charities that I give to. I feel that voluntary. And a lot of people say, oh, no, people will just be greedy. But I think what happens is when there's a monopoly on the poor, on helping the poor, A, what do monopolies do? Monopolies create more of. So if you have a monopoly on something, well, you're just going to sort of gain control of it. And the government say it's a monopoly of the poor and sick and all of this. So really, I guess what we need to look at is say that, hey, we have got a good thing. If you've ever given anything to a guy on the street or to a mate that's really in need or a family member, then you can say to yourself, if you've done it, then you can assure yourself that most people do it. And then you bring out the free rider concept, you can fix charities that help the sick and can't afford doctors. Rather than they get these free rides and quite paid and blah. But I can assure you that the main problem is get rid of the clients on my side of things and let people, if we all believe the poor should be fed, then why do we need a gun to extract the money for the poor people? Why do we need that middleman? If 50% of the people believe that then democratically speaking, then 50% of the people should be. I just saw one thing to give the virus to think about. But I agree a lot with what Josh says. I don't totally agree with it. But the state of enslavement of humanity at the moment is philosophical. It's philosophical to everything. It's been turned to a state of mental slavery that almost everyone's in, and they're not even aware of. Because of our world, it's much more so. They were even at the beginning of those slaves. They were even at the beginning of getting set free. But because we're not even aware of it, it's like that. It's like we're going through the cage of itself because we don't know the flag anymore. That is, it's totally something from what it could be. And so, that is a good source of it. And because of that acceptance of slavery and slavery, everyone accepts this crime method of doing it. People's lives are just being balanced by a giant machinery of the economy and the state and the military. Lives are just turned upside down and they're being the stock market drives or things like that. Their lives are just not their own. They miss it at all. And they've come to, over a long period of time, think that they have to succeed. And that's wrong. They don't have to succeed.
And the big thing that's not skill is that you say fear that if you do that, no one else will do it. And doubt is going to be doubt that if you tackle this and try this, that it would work. And that's what I'm thinking of. Oh, well, I'm not going to do it because it's important. I'm going to get everyone to do it. And if it's doubt and fear, which is transferred from this time of life,
I think it's going to come. Conversation and lots of other people engage in these type of conversations. Zeitgeist like group, X groups, all these sorts of people. There's an uprising
actually want to talk about these issues. They're obviously not joining this discussion because they're on the side. Well, let's talk about it. Let's leave that aside. I mean, people will have their factual desires or whatever. Well, this is actually the motivation to get people to action. This is all our fundamental motivation, actually, is to foster a conversation among people about the circumstance of our lives. Some people are slaves to materialism. They've been driven to consumerism by an education system, which is and a cultural system, which has basically taught them that they're all one iPad away from happiness. This is why, as a group, we decided to put on our conference, building a creative environment. Statue and quite a lot of people. We're not here for philosophy. We're actually here to start a conversation among a lot of different people. What are the circumstances that we have? What are the ideas that are floating around out there? And how can we start to get all these ideas through the conversation and maybe affect some change? So the ideas of the Zeitgeist group over a resource based economy. It's great, it actually makes the economy focus back more on what it should be doing, which is providing for the needs of lots of people.
Machines will do all the work.
Yeah.
We'll all just be sitting around in a
Or
is the position of this Zeitgeist group to say we need to create an economy for economic life and technological solutions to some of the challenges we face as part of the mix, where people will actually be able to have more freedom to be themselves in the world. So you're still free to be a car farmer if you want to be a car
farmer. It's not really a car farmer. It's moving as fast as possible. That's what I'm doing. Something's happening in the world.
So maybe what we do is where you are focusing a little bit on what you feel negative about this. Let's grab the positive. Let's take the positive aspects where we can connect and say, let's build from these points of agreement. Rather than focusing on here's where we disagree, let's grab on the thing that's good, which is say we all want to agree, right? As a most basic
places, like, in gratitude, and you take so feel from the positive. I think you were concerned about something, you were maybe one of the protesters.
Well, no, if you want to actually, I don't know. Every time you speak, I don't know if it's just because I think they say something about science in the world, and you can use science in a very thorough, generalized way, and I just have to ask you what you mean, because I mean, there are so many human activities going on before to be science. There's a whole science of human people, which is actually probably one of the most economically productive sciences in our world at the moment, which is dominated by military industrial conflicts. And every day, they are thinking about new and recurring ways to kill and destroy and hurt people. Now, that's one type of science that you don't think, scientific, because they all science, so they don't even explain it. Science is not politics. Science is not about politics. Science is just about experiment, observation, experiment, and theory. Observation, experiment, hypothesis.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the Scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.